7 on behalf of the appellants, City of Colorado Springs. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal if I could. This case presents a narrow issue of whether or not immunity under the Colorado Governmental Immunity Act is waived for public parking facilities servicing a recreational area. This question should be answered in the negative. The trial court's order denying the city's motion to dismiss should be reversed for two primary reasons. First, a review of case law regarding public parking facilities reveals a firmly rooted precedent that immunity is not waived for public parking facilities. Ms. Daniel is asking this court to affirm the lower court's ruling on the city's motion to dismiss for an arbitrary exception to this deeply rooted precedent that immunity is not waived for public parking facilities. Second, a plain reading of 2410-1061E reveals that immunity is not waived for public parking facilities servicing recreational areas because the parking lot is not located in the recreational area. The trial court's order leads to an inconsistent treatment of the same subject matter. Public parking facilities is inconsistent with prior case law from other panels of the Court of Appeals and is inconsistent with the General Assembly's intent to retain immunity for injuries occurring in public parking facilities.
Counsel, see that with respect to recreation areas, there is an exception, correct? To immunity, there's an exception for
correct, for
recreation facilities or recreation areas. So are you saying then that a court has to look at the property and start drawing lines as to what part of this recreation area is for recreation and what part of the recreation area isn't for recreation?
I think every word in subsection E has a meaning to it, and so you have to look at located in, but I don't even think the court needs to get to that. I think the court can look at Jones, can look at other cases such as Pack versus Arkansas Valley Correctional Facility, Stanley as well, and see that they all note and cite Jones with approval for the proposition that immunity is not waived for public parking facilities, regardless of what that parking lot services, whether it's a correctional facility, whether it's a jail, whether it's an airport, as the case was in Jones, or a recreational area. I think a parking lot is a parking lot. It doesn't matter what it services. The risks are still the same, and that analysis doesn't change because in this particular instance, it's a golf course and not an airport and employee-only parking lot.
Well, would it matter if, because this is a golf course, if the parking lot were out of bounds? And I ask that because I don't expect you to know this, but Civi Ballesteros had a rather famous shot from the parking lot at St. Andrews a few decades ago because it wasn't marked out of bounds. Does that matter?
I think you have to look and turn to the definition of recreational area. And I think in Denmark v. State, I believe in 1997 Court of Appeals case, a panel had an opportunity to review what a recreational area was. And that was an area where sport or similar activity could occur. I don't think that there's any evidence in this case that Ms. Daniel was intending on playing golf, that she was playing golf, or that anyone else customarily used the parking lot servicing the Valley High Golf Course as a recreational area. So therefore, I think under the plain language of subsection E, regardless of how a golf course is zoned or whether or not something is in bounds or out of bounds, you can't play golf in the parking lot. But again, I don't think that you even have to get to that question because I think Jones and other cases which cite Jones for approval, with approval, stand for the proposition that immunity is not waived for public parking facilities regardless of what it services.
Is your position then that say the clubhouse is not a recreation area?
Again, I think you have to go back to that definition of recreational area. I think it possibly could be a public facility, but I certainly don't think that one can recreate. I don't think that the Valley High Golf Course necessarily needs the clubhouse, and certainly does not need a golf course in order to fulfill its function.
A parking lot.
A parking lot does not need a parking lot in order to fulfill its function as a golf course, in order for people to go there, enjoy a game of golf. The facts in this case are also straightforward. As she went to listen to a congressman speak, Ms. Daniel fell in the parking lot. As I stated, she was not intending to play golf. She was not playing golf. There's no indication that anyone used the golf course, or excuse me, the parking lot, to play golf. Looking at the cases that I've mentioned, specifically in Jones, the court looked at the General Assembly's actions in 1986, where they amended subsection E of 2410-1061, and found that when the General Assembly removed public parking facilities, that evidenced their intent to retain immunity for injuries occurring in public parking facilities or in public parking lots. And I think you can look at every opportunity a panel of the Court of Appeals has had since that point to either limit or change course with Jones, or the General Assembly's chances or opportunities to disagree with Jones by amending subsection E, evidences an intent that the General Assembly wished to retain immunity for public parking facilities, and also that the judicial interpretation of subsection E was correct and was accurate. In PAC, again, that was an incident where a panel of the Court of Appeals addressed injuries in a visitor parking lot. Although that was subsection B that they interpreted, the court found that the parking lot was ancillary to the correctional facility, that it was not necessary in order for the correctional facility to fulfill its function as a prison for them to have a parking lot. Thus, immunity was retained in those circumstances. Again, PAC notes Jones with approval. Finally, in Stanley, that was a driveway which serviced a school. And that driveway also doubled as a parking lot, as vehicles parked routinely on the driveway. The court noted, again, Jones, for the proposition that immunity is not waived for parking lots, found that the driveway was akin to a parking lot, and therefore immunity was retained for those circumstances. In order to reach a consistent, harmonious, and sensible construction of the law surrounding immunity in public parking lots, it's important for this court to reverse the lower court's denial of the city's motion to dismiss. There's no discernible reason why this parking lot poses any different risk or is any different than any other parking lot, which services, as I said, a correctional facility, an airport, a library, a school. There's absolutely no reason for one servicing a correctional facility, as the case was here, to be treated any differently. Additionally, as I noted, the plain reading of subsection E states that the parking lot has to be located in, or excuse me, the public facility has to be located in the recreational area. Those words are important and significant here. Although I don't think that we even need to get to this question because of Jones, I think even under the plain meaning of subsection E, the public facility has to be located in the recreational area. Here, the parking lot, in no way, shape, or form, was located in the recreational area. I think you'd look to public facilities such as ball washers, such as bathrooms, those sorts of public facilities in or on a golf course, which I think subsection E would provide for waiver. Here, it is not the case. In sum, the trial court's order denying the city's motion to dismiss was an error. The court relied on another district court case, Hayes, and Judge Warner's opinion in that case. We disagree with his interpretation of subsection E. We disagree with the case law surrounding public parking facilities. And quite frankly, we think Judge Warner in Hayes got the case law and found incorrectly that immunity was waived. The trial court here adopted the order and the findings in that Hayes matter as his own in order to deny the city's motion to dismiss. Again, I think that the lower court got it wrong. So with that, unless the court has any additional questions, I will rest and pass on to the appellee.
Thank you, Mr. Lamphere.
May it please the court, Nelson Boyle, 39525 for Ms. Daniel. Departure from precedent is not required in this case. Plain reading of the statute allows the court to affirm, and the defendant states that the facts are not in dispute, so the court should defer to the trial court's findings, which incorporated the plaintiff's statement of the facts in the response, and that incorporated also the complaint, both which had an Exhibit A attached, and both which said that the parking lot was within the park. So for this court to, on the factual side, the second issue that the appellant talked about, for this court to find that the park does not, or the recreation area, whatever it is, did not include the parking lot, this court would have to find that the trial court's error was clear error. The standard of review on a governmental immunity case and 12b1 motion such as this is de novo review for the conclusions of law and clear error for findings of fact of the court below. And to find the second part of their argument and to say that this court was reversing, the court would have to find that there was clear error and would also have to, the court has to wrestle with the fact that the appellant is on one hand saying there are no disputes of fact. We accept all the facts in the complaint. They say that in their opening brief and in their reply brief, and they said that here today. But the fact of the matter is, one of the facts that's stated in the response brief here and was stated by the plaintiff below, both in the complaint and in the response to the motion to dismiss, was that the parking lot is within the park and recreation area. So I also would like to say that the plain language of the statute clearly reads Section 2410.101 or 106.1E waives immunity in any action for injuries resulting from a dangerous condition of any public facility located in any park or recreation area maintained by a public entity. Now, Rosales, 89 Pacific 3rd, 507 at page 508, and Curtis, 179 Pacific 3rd, 81 at page 84, both said that. And that was a quote, actually, from Rosales. Now, looking at this Jones issue, even if Jones, I don't think Jones was correctly decided. I think the plain language of the statute reads as it does, and there's nothing mentioned about parking facilities in the plain language of the statute, and there's no reason to go to legislative hearings or to what the prior statute said when you look at the plain language of the statute. But even if Jones is correctly decided, it concerns something that is narrower than this broad language in this portion of the statute.
Mr. Boyle, excuse me for interrupting, but you think Jones is wrongly decided, but the legislature has done nothing in 20 years since Jones was decided to change that statute. Prior to 1986, it clearly listed public parking facilities as an exception to the waiver, and it dropped that in 1986. Jones noted it. Jones relied upon it. The legislature's not changed the statute.
So before 1986, it listed it as an exception to the waiver. So then that means that there was no waiver prior to 1986 for the parking facility.
It means in 1985, a public parking facility was within the purview of a lawsuit, a legitimate lawsuit that couldn't be defended on the basis of governmental immunity. But in 1986, the General Assembly dropped that exception, and I think Jones came to the conclusion that, as it says, we must presume that in 1986 the General Assembly considered whether immunity should be waived for public parking lots, since the previous version of the statute specifically addressed those facilities. Accordingly, in the absence of clear language in 2410-106-1E, waiving immunity for dangerous conditions in public parking facilities, we must construe that section as expressing the General Assembly's intent to retain a public entity's sovereign immunity from liability for such claims. Now, notwithstanding that language in Jones, as I understand what happened here, the trial court relied upon another district court's opinion.
Yes.
In coming to the conclusion that this injury was, this lawsuit could proceed. I'm not aware that other trial court decisions are binding precedent.
Your Honor, he didn't, the trial court here below, my co-counsel, Mr. Rosenbaum, attached the trial court's order along with the response that was filed in the Hayes case and a copy of the motion that was filed by the city, which is the exact same as the motion here, as exhibits to the response, and explained that he wasn't as brilliant as the attorney who had responded to the case in Hayes, and so he was just attaching that and incorporating all of that into the response. So the trial court here, when it said that it, for the reasons stated in plaintiff's response to the motion, it hereby denied the motion. It incorporated then the incorporation of those findings, but it didn't follow Hayes. It just said, well, Hayes got it right, and so I'm going to incorporate that too. But the plain language of the statute here is different than the prior statute, but it also says clearly any public facility located in any park.
And that's the same statute that was there when Jones interpreted it.
But it's different facts. And in Jones, it wasn't a park that they were looking at. So this portion of the statute wasn't this comma clause that says public facility located in any park or recreation.
So
here the words public facility are broader than public parking facility. So public facility subsumes the public parking facility. And so even if a public parking facility at an airport or at a zoo or at a prison wouldn't have a waiver.
So the parking areas in the alley in the Stanley against Adams County School District, that's not the kind of public facility that would somehow waive immunity. But the parking facility at Pepsi Center, that would be a park lot. So it sort of depends on which.
If Pepsi Center is a recreation area, I mean, then you have to get into that, I guess. But yes, if the parking lot at the zoo, or not the zoo, the city park, Maybe the parking circle over here at the Capitol, because the Capitol is a park. I mean, you know, the area around the Capitol is a park. So the where the legislators park there would be a, you know, parking facility, and that would be something that there would be a waiver for because it's within a park, if that court concluded that that was a park. And here, you know, it's whether the parking facility is in the park or recreation area. And again, the appellee or the appellant has said, one, that they're not objecting to any of the facts that are stated in the complaint. And one of the facts stated in the complaint is that the parking lot is in the parking facility. But also, you know, if the court was to find that either it couldn't determine based on the record whether it is or is not in it, then a Trinity hearing would be appropriate, remand for a Trinity hearing. But otherwise, the court should affirm the trial court's finding of fact, which incorporated the plaintiff's statement of the facts, which was that the parking facility is within the recreational facility.
Well, what sense is the parking lot in the recreation facility that the parking lot was not within the correctional facility in PAC? What's the difference?
Well, in PAC, it's a different section of the statute. It's not.
But we're talking about in, within. And what's okay. That was the basis. The court said there was just the parking is just ancillary. Why isn't the parking here just ancillary?
Why do you think, I mean, what you're asking, why would the parking facility here be ancillary in this case?
Sure.
I don't think it is, and don't think it is for several reasons. First, I think that, you know, you go to a prison to be imprisoned, and that's the primary purpose of a prison, as PAC explains. But visiting the prison is not the primary purpose. Visiting the prison is something that you can do, but it's not the primary purpose of the prison. So here you go to a golf course to golf, and you leave and you come back to golf again. They also have a clubhouse. I think they have a pool at this one. You know, they have recreational facilities for people to come up and park and leave. So the parking lot is part of going there to recreate and leave. But also in the facts in this case, it's even a little bit different, because the appellant has argued that, you know, she wasn't going there to golf. Nobody was going there to golf. Well, he's exactly right. And in fact, they were all going not to the golf course, but to, you know, through the parking lot. Some of them parked there, some of them walked to the parking lot, but they were going to the clubhouse to hear Congressman Doug Lamborn speak. And when they crowd got big enough, it overflowed where? Into this parking lot. So that changes the question a little bit. You know, the appellant has talked about the Denmark case, 954 Pacific 2nd, 626, and how in that case you have the Auraria campus. And the argument by the state was that the Auraria campus is for higher education. It is not for recreating. And the court said, but if people are recreating there, then that's part of recreation area, because they're recreating. And they're within a confined area, so that's an area. And they found that even though the prime or the purpose of that, you know, of the Auraria campus was not for recreating, the purpose was in that instance, based on those facts, those people were recreating in the area. And so,
but in Denmark, the injury occurred on a playing field. So the court didn't. I mean, if Denmark had said, so that makes Metro a recreation area, that might work for you. But it didn't say that. It was saying that just because Metro isn't a rec area doesn't mean the playing field isn't a rec area. So here, all that would say is that the golf course is a rec area. Well, the golf course is clearly a rec area. Nobody disputes that. The question is, what other thing that might be next to it is a rec area?
And that's where I was going with this, because it's not just recreation area. And the appellant has spent a lot of time arguing recreation area, but it's recreation area and park. And so one may be bigger than the other. They may be different things. But here, one, there's a city ordinance that was attached to my brief that says that parks include parking lots. And although the appellant pointed out good law that, you know, appears to say that the court cannot take judicial notice of that, the court is free to do its own research.
But not only can we not take judicial notice of it, but how can the municipal ordinance somehow amend the statute? We're supposed to look at what the statute says, not at what the local ordinances say.
But the statute says within a park, and so to define what a park is in Colorado Springs, how better to find out what they think their park is than...
Are we supposed to have a different definition of parks in Colorado Springs than we do in Glenwood, for example? We don't do that.
I don't know. I mean, I think that a city has the right to define what its park is, and if its own statements and its own ordinances are that a parking lot is part of a park, then that's part of the case. But
I respectfully disagree, counsel. We do CGIA cases all of the time, and we look at them based on what the state law is, not what on the municipal law is.
Thank you, Your Honor. But also here, the Lamborn crowd was coming out into the parking lot. So under Denmark, you could say that the parking lot, even if it's not in the recreation area normally, is becoming part of the recreation area, and people go to hear politicians speak to recreate, to do exactly what Denmark says recreation is, which is to, you know, to soothe your soul and to rebuild and to, you know, do all those kinds of things. And so they go to hear Doug Lamborn speak, the congressman speak, and they're overflowing into the parking lot. So now the parking lot is becoming the facility where the city is hosting people to come and hear it. And so the parking lot even becomes something beyond the parking lot. It becomes part of the facility where people are going to hear Doug Lamborn speak when she falls down and gets hurt.
So isn't the bottom line result of your argument that some parking lots, that for some parking lots there's a waiver and for some parking lots there aren't?
That's one of the arguments, yes.
So you think the General Assembly could have intended that kind of a result, that we had to look parking lot by parking lot?
I think the General Assembly intended that, can I keep going?
Yes, you can.
I think the General Assembly intended that every public facility within a park or recreation area had a waiver, because that's the plain language of the statute, and reading that, the court should go no further. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Byrum. Mr. Lamphere, you have, or Mr. Boyle, excuse me. Mr. Lamphere, you have 3 minutes and 42 seconds.
First, I want to address the standard of review. This is a question of law, an issue of law, both the GIA and construction of subsection A of 2410-1061. So the standard of review is de novo. We do not dispute the facts that Ms. Daniel went to the Valley High parking lot, fell, and she was going to Valley High to hear a congressman speak.
Counsel, have you admitted in the court that the parking lot was within a recreation area? If that was allowed and that was alleged, and you said we concede all that, isn't that an admission?
I don't believe that we did concede that, Your Honor. I think we admitted the facts and the case. I think that's a distinction depending on what we're looking at, whether or not it's depending on what the form is, whether or not something is within the golf course or not. What we did not dispute was on the date of the injury, she went there to hear a congressman speak, she fell in the parking lot. I think that's as far as we go as far as admitting to any particular facts. The primary duty in looking at subsection E and looking at public parking facilities is to give a consistent, harmonious, and sensible construction to the statute and to the applicable case law. There's absolutely no reason, there's absolutely no indication that the General Assembly meant anything other than what Jones stands for. There has been nothing but silence from the General Assembly since Jones in 1992. Other panels had opportunities to disagree, to change, to somehow modify Jones. They have not. In fact, they have endorsed Jones. They have cited Jones with approval for the proposition that immunity is not waived for public parking facilities. And Jones is not limited to its facts. It's a restricted employee-only parking lot. As the court stated in Jones, even if the employee parking lot in question were properly characterized as a public parking facility, sovereign immunity has not been waived. I think that's as clear as you can get it. For public parking lots, regardless of if it's servicing an airport, a correctional facility, a library, a school, a recreational area, a parking lot is a parking lot. There's absolutely no reason to distinguish whether or not immunity or liability is going to hinge on what type of area it services. For instance, you can look at an example of a school. If someone falls in injury going into the school, in that case, you would look at Stanley and determine that immunity has not been waived if they get injured in the public parking lot. Now, what if that same person, rather than going into the school, is going to the football field to watch his or her son playing the football game? Then is that different? That's what Ms. Daniels is asking this court to decide, that somehow that parking lot is somehow different, and that there's a reason why immunity should be waived under those latter circumstances that are different than the former. I don't see it. There's absolutely no reason why immunity should be waived under those circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lanfer. Thank you again, Mr. Johnson. The matter is deemed submitted. You can expect a written opinion to issue in due course.